It is a new theme Thursday on the Rodcast. This is my man Patrick, comes up with all the musically themed days of the week. And of course, on a new theme Thursday, he comes up with a creative new theme. And today, because it is 7-Eleven, he basically came up with the theme that all the songs have to, in some way, form, or fashion, reference 7-Eleven.
Yes. Right? In the lyrics of all these songs, they talk some about 7-Eleven.
As long as they reference 7-Eleven. And I got to tell you, when's the 7-Eleven reference in here?
It's the next verse.
It's the next verse. There you go. See, man, you got to be that's a lot of detail you putting into that, brother, to examine all the lyrics.
There's some people out there that have collected some of this stuff already. Okay. And they need to find ones that worked
and just build on it a little bit.
Let's see. I think we go. Here we go. It's that easy.
Well done, brother. Well done. Well done. Appreciate my man Patrick hooking us up on a new theme Thursday edition of the show. He also comes up with the topic for the Big Fat Poll of the day. This one is college football related. You got Big 12 Media Days, though, I believe, are done.
They're done now, right? Yes.
In Vegas. But it is a Big 12 related topic for the Big Fat Poll of the day.
Yes, Big Fat Poll of the day. Who will be the best quarterback in the Big 12? I just posted that up on X as well, at the Horn ATX. Nice. Shedeur Sanders, Cam Rising, Jalen Daniels, Avery Johnson, your choices there on X.
Yeah. No, it's a good question. I mean, I you'd assume that Shedeur Sanders, but that's just the hype. Doesn't mean he's going to have, and even if you do have the most NFL upside, doesn't mean you're going to have the best season.
Yes.
Next season for your team. And I know a lot of people are high on Avery Johnson. I was really high on Jalen Daniels before he got hurt. And that system that he runs there in Kansas is one of the most creative, I think it's one of the more lethal offensive systems in the country. And he's perfectly compatible with it there with Lance Leipold. Then there's Cam Rising, who's, seven years or something like that?
I mean,
Cam Rising?
Yeah, I mean, he was a Herman recruit, right?
Yeah. 7-8 years. I mean, I got to go back and look, but he's been there a long time. So, but that's what worked out last year. I mean, Michael Penix was kind of the Michael Penix story. You know, transfer, dealt with a lot of injuries, but finally had a season where he stayed healthy, or a couple of seasons where he stayed healthy, and then obviously the rest is history. We'll see. I like that question, though. So we'll get you that on the X account. Go to Horn ATX. It'll be posted up there for you, and you can vote there, or you can go have that discussion on the text line, 512-447-3776. All right, we'll get your Horn headlines, and then we'll get into some NFL odds. It's NFL odds of the best, or at least the who's going to lead the NFL in receiving, in passing yards, in passing touchdowns, in rushing yards. We'll give you our thoughts and give you those NFL odds. And also we'll dive into some NFL discussion. I went down the rabbit hole. I found a stat that talking about the Texans offense, actually. And I went researching the Texans offense and went down the rabbit hole and found myself on the 40 acres researching Sark's time in the NFL. So we'll get into that. I'll give you that connection when we get to Rod's rant of the day. So some NFL discussion we'll dive into. But first, let's get updated. Let's get educated. Let's get informed on all the top stories of the day with Patrick Davis and the Horn headlines.
All right, your Horn headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Team USA Basketball started their warm-up to the Olympics with an exhibition game against Canada last night in Las Vegas, winning 86-72. USA had four players score in double digits, led by Anthony Edwards with 13, and Anthony Davis picked up a double-double with 10 points and 11 rebounds. Defense led the way for USA, holding Canada to 33% shooting on the night and picking up 11 steals and 9 blocks. Team USA will look to fix some of their turnover problems and get a quicker start offensively in their second tune-up game against Australia on Monday. In the MLB, the Astros pushed their home win streak to 8 games with a 9-1 win over the Marlins yesterday. A 4-run second inning gave the Astros a lead, and they never looked back, with Yonier Diaz contributing 3 RBIs. Framber Valdez was able to strike out 10 in his 7 innings pitch, getting his 8th win of the season, and Caleb Ord finished out the game. Yordan Alvarez got a walk and an RBI single in the game before leaving with right hip tightness. Jake Bloss will get his second career start tonight, returning from the IL after leaving his first start with shoulder discomfort in June. And the Rangers snapped their 5-game win streak with a loss to the Angels 7-2 yesterday. Michael Lorenzen gave up 5 runs in the first 3 innings, starting in the second where he allowed 3 walks and a hit-by-pitch in the inning. Leody Taveras got a 2-run homer in the fifth, but it wasn't enough, however. The Rangers still win the series versus the Angels 2-1 and now get the day off before facing the Astros in a weekend series before the All-Star break. And that is your Horn headlines.
All right, thank you, Patrick, for the Horn headlines. Appreciate those. All right, let's get to these NFL odds. This is from BetMGM, and they have the odds for some of these statistical leaders, our projected statistical leaders for the upcoming season. So BetMGM, best odds to lead the NFL in receiving yards. They got Tyreek Hill at +500, best odds to lead the NFL in receiving yards. CeeDee Lamb's at +600, Justin Jefferson at +700. These are all your $30 million plus receivers, or soon will be when CeeDee Lamb joins that group. Jamar Chase is at +800. Then there's A.J. Brown at +900. Then you get to Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's at +1,000. Puka Nacua getting some love. He and Garrett Wilson are at +1,500. And then there's Drake London at +1,800. But 28% of the money right now, that's the most. The most of the money is on Drake London at +1,800. Because that Kirk Cousins connection, right? They figure new offensive system, was it Zach Robinson there now with him? Is it Zach Robinson?
Yes, right?
I believe you're correct about that. So new offensive system, a McVay, a Shanahan McVay system. And, you got a lot of weapons on that. You got Kyle Pitts, you got Bijan Robinson. So Drake London right now, really popular. If you had to make a bet, which one is the one you put the money on? Who's your best bet to win, or at least not to win, to lead the NFL in receiving yards?
I mean,
you can go outside that group if you want to. I think CD's got a good chance to do it.
I think he does.
Tyreek Hill's got to split some with Jalen Waddle now.
Yeah,
Jalen Waddle's making big money. He's gonna split a little bit with Jalen Waddle. That's just the nature of it. And Tyreek Hill gets a lot of attention, but, man, Miami Dolphins have done an amazing job of being able to scheme him open. Justin Jefferson, the quarterback, concerns me.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, right? A rookie quarterback. I'm a little concerned about the rookie quarterback. I mean, they're going to force feed him the football, of course, highest paid receiver in the league. But I'm worried about the quarterback there. Jamar Chase is that's a good one, but there are other weapons there as well. You got, T. Higgins there. You got Boyd there as well. I mean, they got some weapons that you also got to, divide up that target share. A.J. Brown also has a true number two receiver. Like, he's got Devontae Smith there with him, who's also making big money. CeeDee Lamb, Cowboys don't have a running game. We talk about that all the time. Running game is going to be terrible. We can predict that right now. Like, not terrible, but it's going to be below average. All right? It's going to be a below average running game, right? We all agree with that? So they're going to throw the football a lot. Is Brandon Cooks a true number two receiver? Maybe. We'll see. But they don't have a number three receiver. Jake Ferguson is probably that, a tight end. And I think CeeDee Lamb's going to get a lot of targets, a ton. They're going to scheme him open a ton. And they did that really well last year. I don't know. My bet might be CD.
It might be CD. I like Garrett Wilson if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy.
If he stays healthy,
yeah. It's not like, I mean, Breece Hall is a good running back, but I don't know if he's a bell cow. So I don't know if they've got, you know, I think that you're going to throw the ball. You're going to base it around Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And that's your guy there.
That's your guy. Yeah, you're right about that. That is your guy. Should Amon-Ra St. Brown be getting some more love here?
He should, but I think they have so many weapons. I think they have more weapons there.
Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs, the tight ends there are so damn good.
Laporta.
No, that's a good point. Laporta, no, they do got a lot of weapons there.
I mean, is Cooper Kupp back in that discussion?
Who?
Cooper Kupp, does he get in that discussion?
I know, yeah, that's crazy that Puka Nacua is there and not Cooper Kupp.
Does he not get in that conversation anymore?
Is Puka Nacua the number one there now and not Cooper Kupp?
I mean, Cooper Kupp has just been hurt.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, they list Puka Nacua here has got odds and not Cooper Kupp. I'm with you, right? And I guess that would hurt either one of their odds to lead the NFL in receiving yards. But Cooper Kupp's done it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
He's done it before, and he's not even listed here for BetMGM. That's a great point. I don't know. Puka Nacua did take the league by storm his rookie year, and there are big things expected from him. And you know they're going to scheme him open real well. I mean, you know they're going to scheme the hell out of it with Sean McVay, and they got a quarterback. In Matt Stafford, I mean, you got a QB, one of the better QBs in the NFL. So, yeah, maybe that is a sleeper, Puka Nacua. Or maybe you should go Cooper Kupp. Now you get better value with Cooper Kupp.
I mean, you're definitely going to get better value if he's not listed on that top one.
I guess the assumption is he's not going to stay healthy. That's got to be the assumption.
Yeah. That he's getting older. And you know, I mean, granted, they said, you know, that what Puka Nacua said, he got him throwing up in the bushes.
Yeah, work it out with him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Old man, I'll wear you out with that workout, man. Trust me. Yeah, but
Cooper Kupp's 31, so not terribly
not
old.
Not that old, yeah. I mean, that's still relatively young. Still easily got.
Especially
two to three
for
years.
A guy that's not based entirely in athleticism.
Yep, more of a technician out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. Yeah, I'm surprised. That's a great point. I don't know why Cooper Kupp's not on here getting some more love. Maybe that's the bet right there. If you really want to get that, maybe that's the value bet is Cooper Kupp, who I have no idea. I don't even have the odds for him. He must be that low on the receiving leader odds.
Do you think Deshaun Watson stays healthy? Amari Cooper's got a shot at it in a contract year.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. They just paid somebody, too.
And Njoku, right?
Yeah, you're right. They just paid another receiver, though, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
I got
to
make sure
they?
I get it right. It might have been Judy. Is Judy with them now?
Didn't they make – yeah, they made that trade, right?
Right? And then didn't they sign him when they made the trade?
I think so.
Yes. Right. Three-year. He just signed a three-year deal.
Well, but – I mean, he's not.
They
may try that,
one.
But yeah, he's got to catch. He's got to catch the ball first. I like Jerry Jeudy, but he's got to catch the ball first.
No, I totally agree. I'm just talking about like target shit.
Yeah, yeah. No, and they have Njoku too. I think still.
Yes, and you know they want to run the rock too.
Yeah.
So that
but,
that
but
makes
Nick Chubb
me
is
wonder.
Is missing half the season.
That's a great point. Yeah.
But again, Deshaun Watson has to stay on the field.
Exactly. I said there's so many variables there. It's like the target share thing. Then can Deshaun Watson stay healthy? Can Deshaun Watson look anything close to his old self? He actually was better last year when he was playing. He was much better. But that team is loaded, man. The Browns are one of the more talented teams in the league. That team is loaded. So really no excuse but that also that division is brutal. Like there's no tougher division in football right now, in my opinion. That division the Steelers are the worst team in that division, and the Steelers are still one of the better teams in the league. And they, if they ever figure out quarterback, then watch out for the Steelers, too. That's our receiving yards, the receiving yards leader odds from BetMGM. Let's get to the rushing yards leader odds here. It says Christian McCaffrey. These are the favorites to have the most rushing yards in the league. Christian McCaffrey at plus 300. Jonathan Taylor at plus 400. Saquon Barkley at plus 500. Breece Hall at plus 750. Bijan and Derrick Henry at plus 1,000. And Kyren Williams at plus 1,200. Christian McCaffrey, obviously, in that 49er offense, and they run the ball as much, if not more, than anybody in the league. So if he stays healthy, Yeah, that makes the most sense. But I think the best value to me will probably be Bijan or Derrick Henry, both at plus 1,000.
I think Bijan, the problem is there's still Algiers on that roster, and who's a good runner. So he's going to get carries still. Now, you need to get Bijan the lion's share, but Algiers going to get carries, right?
Yeah.
And you don't want to outrun it. So I think that would be my biggest worry of him leading the league would be that he's going to have to share some carries because we know he's going to be electric. We know he's going to be good. And hopefully Zach Robinson uses him better than he was being used last year.
Arthur Smith.
And yeah.
Old Arthur Smith.
So, but that would be my worry with him. But other than that, I'm with you. I think that just talent-wise. But, yeah, Christian McCaffrey has – because they don't even have the backup either of somebody that you think is going to steal a bunch of carries from Christian McCaffrey.
No, they need it, actually.
They do.
They need another back to offset some of the burden that they put on Christian McCaffrey because he's just getting older. And you're just going to need him more and more. He's so important to their blueprint to win. You can't afford not to have him in the playoffs. And at this point, you're the 49ers. You don't really need to prove much in the regular season. Yeah, the playoff positioning is great. But at this point, you still should be able to, even if you have to go on the road like Kansas City did this year, you should be able to win your way.
Yeah.
Because you're a better team and you've been there and done that and still get to the NFC title game, get to the Super Bowl. I still think they can do that, and Christian McCaffrey's health would mean more to me to their success than the home field advantage in the bye week. He's just that important.
I'm curious about Jonathan Taylor and how that offense is going to look because we can say if Anthony Richardson takes a step forward, he looked pretty good last year. You have Michael Pittman coming back. You have A.D. Mitchell now added to that team. Do they – between running Anthony Richardson and throwing the ball to those guys, does that take away carries? Or are they just going to bell cow it and say, dude, you're the guy. We got a young quarterback. We got young wide receivers that aren't fully there yet. You need to carry this team. And he just gets it because he's the most consistent piece of that offense.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. That's a good one because he is the most consistent. And they want to pound the rock. And with Anthony, but I think about Anthony Richardson running the rock a lot too. That's going to help him ultimately. Yeah. People say that, oh no, you steal rushing yards and steal rushing attempts from the running back when you have a dual threat quarterback. Actually, studies have shown that it helps running backs when you have a dual threat quarterback because they have to account for the quarterback as a rusher.
Makes sense.
So there's less resources they can allocate to stuff the box against the running back.
Yeah.
I don't know. That could end up being another one. That's true. I didn't think about that. Right now, I'll go with the value. I like that Derrick Henry, Bijan one. But you're right. Bijan, he's got to share a lot of carries. So that's got to be a leap for him, too.
Yeah. And that's what I just wouldn't put money on Henry staying healthy enough to do it. I think he's going to be really good when he plays, but he's going to miss some games. I'm not saying he's going to miss every game, but he's going to miss some time, especially because, again, what you just talked about with CMC, the exact same thing with the Ravens, that if Henry kind of gets beat up a little bit in the season, you sit him two games in the regular season or three. Like, you sit him a little bit to get him healthy for the postseason.
I agree with that.
Because you're like, we need you when we need to go run when it's cold weather and we're playing somebody and it's just brutal. And we just need to run the ball.
We're hosting Kansas City.
We're hosting, and something like that. And it's just brutal weather or whatever it is when we get down late in the season in the playoffs. We need you to run the ball.
Yeah.
And so I think that he'll miss some games just solely in the fact of load management, if nothing else.
That's that term, load management. Yeah. For the old guys, man, it's necessary. They said 44% of the money is on Zamir White, actually. To have the most rushing yards, who is at plus 3,000. So they're looking at real good value. That's according to this BetMGM post here, which, like I said, that's pretty interesting because
he's still with the Raiders, right?
Zamir White, I got to go check that.
He was a backup for the Raiders last year, so he would be the starting running back, I assume, for the Raiders this year. They're assuming because Josh Jacobs did well in that offense last year that it wasn't Josh Jacobs, it was the offense. So Zamir White, who I had on my fantasy team at one point and did nothing for me. Maybe I'm a little skewed on this.
That's the guy.
He's a good running back. Like, that's the reason I take, is that, you know, I tend to take guys just based on that I like how they run, but
that's gotta be a fantasy thing. That's like some analytical fantasy thing. Some fantasy nerds found some stat, like you said, about the system and him, and that's why a lot of people are betting on him. Because I'm with you. I don't know. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. So he had what 4.3 yards per carry last year, one touchdown, but he had in 104 carries, 451 yards last season.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. This comes from BetMGM, like a data scientist from BetMGM. So
here's the one that kills me. This is why I wouldn't say it. His longest run last year was 15 yards.
Yeah,
that's where you say, like, I don't see. It feels like you have to have explosive plays to win. You know, when you think of like iconic rushers and every, you have to have those big runs because again, if your longest run's 15 all season and someone else breaks off a 70 yarder. That's like eight or nine of your longest kick.
You're right.
Just get a couple big plays, and you've got two games worth of what they're going to make.
Name a Miami running back. I mean, any of them. Do that like once a game. No, I'm with you.
That's Bijan.
It could be because he's in Vegas. In Vegas. Is that what it is?
No, 100%. He's the guy in Vegas now because Josh Jacobs went to Green Bay.
That's what I'm saying, like, because it's literally the sports betting capital of the world. So maybe, like, literally, it's just Las Vegas Raiders fans.
Shouldn't they have watched him last year then?
I don't know what I'm saying. Like, the only thing I can think of as to why Zamir White would be, based on this post, the most bet on, at least 44% of the money being bet on him to have the most rushing yards, because that doesn't make any sense. All right, here's the odds for the BetMGM for who's going to have the most passing touchdowns. In the NFL next season, Patrick Mahomes, he's got the best odds, plus 500. Then there's Dak Prescott, plus 600. Three players tied with the third best odds at plus 700. CJ Stroud, Joe Burrow, and Kirk Cousins. Aaron Rodgers, Brock Purdy, and Jordan Love all tied with plus 1,000 odds to have the most passing touchdowns in the NFL this upcoming season. 38% of the money, that's the most bets, is on Aaron Rodgers to throw the most touchdowns. So, if he stays healthy, he's got a good shot. If he stays healthy, he's got a real good shot. I would not. Brock Purdy is not going to lead the NFL in touchdown passes, in my opinion, just because
CMC.
Just because that's not the offense. The offense doesn't really work that way.
No,
that's they want to run the rock. Jordan Love.
Don't they have two running backs too? They just signed Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, they want to run the rock. It's like Jordan Love and Brock Purdy, those are the offenses that want to run the rock. I think they'll be efficient, but they don't want to be prolific.
They lost Aaron Jones, but they kept A.J. Dillon, and then they signed Josh Jacobs, right? Am I correct in that?
I think you're right about that. Because Matt LaFleur likes having two running backs. Remember, they drafted A.J. Dillon when they had Aaron Jones like in his prime. People were like, why the hell are you doing that? He's like, because he likes having two running backs. He wants to run the rock. So I'll take those two offenses out of it. Those two quarterbacks because of those offenses out of it. And, man, after Dak Prescott, I'm telling you, he's got a shot.
Yeah.
Their running game is going to be bad. And he's going to have Jake Ferguson. He's going to like a lot. And CeeDee Lamb's going to score a lot of touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes CJ Stroud might be the best bet here, man.
I'd say Dak or CJ Stroud or both. Dak, I mean, just because, until Rico or Zeke proves that they're going to be a viable red zone threat and can get in the end zone over and over again, then I feel like you just have to throw the ball more and more, right?
Yeah, you can't take the ball out of Dak's hands to give it to Zeke in money time. No, I agree with you on that.
That's why it feels like they're just going to be throwing the ball in the red zone, where even CJ Stroud, if Mixon's what they want him to be, then they're going to hand the ball off some more in the red zone. Now, I think, when you look at the targets he has, and he has, at least two or three red zone targets. Say that they'll take Tank Dell out of that, and I think Tank Dell can find ways to be in there. But Diggs is great at it, and we know Nico Collins got a big body. He can go do that. And then you throw in Dalton Schultz.
Yeah. No, they got weapons. They got weapons galore. And you could argue that Bobby Slowick's going to be better as a play caller. And if CJ Stroud gets better because they have more weapons now overall, offensive line's going to be better because they'll be healthier. CJ Stroud might be my pick in that category. to lead the NFL in passes. Remember last year, the Texans, I got a Texan stat for you. The Texans last year, 27th in shotgun rate. They were 28th in shotgun runs. In terms of three receivers on the field, they had three receivers on the field only 62% of the time. That was the 22nd lowest rate in the NFL. So they're going to have more three wide receiver sets on the field, more 11 personnel on the field. They're going to have more, I think, more shotgun snaps to just put C.J. Stroud in a situation where he already can see the field and, boom, he can just grip it and rip it. And I think all of that will end up – and by the way, I think all that will end up helping, you know, the passing game. I think all of this is for – to juice the passing game, pretty much. Even bringing in Joe Mixon, I think part of that is him as a receiver out of the backfield, even though C.J. Stroud does not target running backs out of the backfield. Last year, he only targeted running backs 12% of the time. The league average is over 17%. So he doesn't target running backs. He wants to go downfield. Go look at his average depth of target. Go look at the yards per attempt. He goes down the field. He's got verticality in his game. He wants to get down the field and stretch the field. So we'll see. He can do that more, though. Of course, now you got Stephon Diggs, a healthy Tank Dell. So C.J. Stroud might be the pick there. All right, now,
let me ask this. Does Patrick Mahomes get further up your list now that you added Hollywood Brown and X-Man?
Oh, yeah. Patrick Mahomes is – that's why he's a favorite to win all of these, because he should be.
I mean, he didn't have – I mean, he was what? He was eighth last season. Because
they're receiving with the worst receiving corps in the league, arguably. Yeah. So he was still eighth with the worst receiving corps in the league, and they led the NFL in drops, did they not? Or they were one of the top three teams in drops? I mean, Najee added receivers. He should be the favorite. And I think he's the favorite also. Yes, here he's the favorite to lead the NFL in passing yards, according to BetMGM. Here are the odds for players who have the most passing yards this upcoming season. Patrick Mahomes plus 500, C.J. Stroud plus 600, Dak Prescott and Jared Goff at plus 750, and then Joe Burrow at plus 800. Tua also plus 850. 14% of the bets, the most bets on C.J. Stroud to have the most passing yards. Yeah, like I said, for all the reasons we just listed.
Yeah.
I totally could see that because he's got more weapons now. Bobby Slowick was a first-time play caller last year. He was a rookie last year. Offensive line was the most injury-riddled offensive line the last 23 years in the NFL. And you added a number one wide receiver in addition to Nico Collins already being one of the NFL's top 10 best wide receivers last season. Yeah, and Tank Dell is going to be healthy. It does seem like it's going to be a prolific and lethal passing attack. But we'll see. I even mentioned Dalton Schultz in there like you brought up too. So I would take C.J. Stroud actually as my – obviously Patrick Mahomes should be everybody's bet. But C.J. Stroud and Dak Prescott are probably the two best bets to lead the NFL in passing yards in my opinion. They're right there. But I would say C.J. Stroud has a better chance because he's got more weapons than Dak.
And C.J. Stroud was third in yards per game. So he was like ninth in, or seventh or something in total yards. But if you say yards per game – He averaged 273, and that was good enough. Number one was Flacco, by the way, last year in yards per game.
Wow, that's a hell of a trivia question. Damn near everybody would get that wrong.
Yeah, Flacco's number one in yards per game. Kirk Cousins was number two. C.J. Stroud was number three.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins lit it up, man. That's why people are picking that Drake London to lead the NFL in receiving because Kirk Cousins, man, he can light it up. Man, Joe Flacco, I forgot he came in. And off the couch, and just started just dropping dimes off the couch for the Browns. Matter of fact, is he still with the Browns?
No, Colts now.
They didn't sign him. They didn't re-sign him.
No,
that's interesting, man. He was a playoff quarterback for you. If Deshaun Watson doesn't at least lead them to the playoffs next year, there's going to be a lot of talk about, man, y'all should have re-signed Flacco at least and brought him in just in case. Or even if Deshaun Watson gets hurt, the conversation will be, why didn't y'all bring in Flacco? Last year, he helped us get to the playoffs. I don't know. You know why they didn't re-sign him, though? You can't have the guy in the locker room who led y'all to the playoffs last year, and then this year have your franchise quarterback and have both of those guys there. You're asking for the locker room to be divided.
That's why Nick Foles wasn't in Philly anymore.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, it's only room for one, man. It's only room for one. Like, one of y'all got to go. We can't have it. Yeah, that's true. That's exactly why it is. And so, did anybody pick up Flacco? Is Flacco on the couch?
Indy, I believe.
Smart move. Yeah, smart move by them. Veteran quarterback. All right, good stuff there. We come back. We'll dive into a stat that I found, which led me down a rabbit hole. And at the end of the rabbit hole, I ended up on the 40 acres and researching Steve Sarkisian. I'll tell you how I made the connection. All of that and more right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time to get into Rod's Rant of the Day. So I was doing some research about the Texans, doing some research about their new-look offense with all the new weapons that they're unveiling this season with Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon. And I was just looking at Nico Collins' stats. And for those who don't know, I've talked about this all the time, Nico Collins had just an epic season this past season. And if you look at, like, yards per route run, it was one of the best seasons we've seen in, like, the last 14 years. Matter of fact, here's the stat. If you look at wide receivers who've been able to achieve at least 3 yards per route run, but also have at least 400 routes total, and so that's kind of the cutoff, the threshold. That means you're a high-volume receiver. That means you're out on the field a lot. So we can cut it out. So you're a high-volume guy out on the field a lot. And those guys who can average at least 3 yards per route run, since 2010, it's Victor Cruz, Andre Johnson, Julio Jones did it 3 times. Cooper Kupp did it once. Tyreek Hill did it twice. And Brandon Ayuk. Here's what those receivers have in common when I started going down the rabbit hole. So Nico Collins did it in 2023. Bobby Slowick, offensive coordinator and the play caller from the Mick Shanahan offensive tree. Tyreek Hill did it 22 and 23. Mike McDaniel from the Mick Shanahan coaching tree. Cooper Kupp did it in 2021. Sean McVay, part of that tree. Brandon Ayuk did it this past season. That's Shano himself. Julio Jones, actually Andre Johnson, 2012, Texans fans know. Gary Kubiak, year after Shano left, and he was the offensive coordinator there and the receivers coach at one point and the quarterbacks coach at one point. So all those guys from the Mick Shanahan coaching tree, even going back to Mike Shanahan himself, because that's where Kubiak was a disciple of Mike Shanahan and then also helped mentor Kyle Shanahan in that same tree. So it's happened 10 times in the last 14 years, 7 different players. Victor Cruz did it in 2012. Andre Johnson also did it in 2012. Julio Jones, 15, 16, 17. Brandon Ayuk, 2023, as well as Nico Collins in 2023, Cooper Kupp in 2021, and Tyreek Hill in 22 and in 23. So it's happened 10 times, 7 different players, like I said, in the last 14 years. 6 out of those 7 are from the Mick Shanahan coaching tree and scheme. And 8 of the, you go look at the 8 play callers that are included here when I broke it down. And 6 of those are Shanahan, Mick Shanahan disciples. Sark actually is also in this group. Now, he's not directly from the Mick Shanahan coaching tree, but he is kind of a stepchild of it. Third, fourth, you know, removed, if you will, from the Mick Shanahan coaching tree because he followed Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta in 2017. So one of Julio Jones' years where he was able to achieve at least 3 yards per route run with at least 400 routes ran, and like I said, only 7 players have done it, in the last 14 years, and it's been done 10 times. He did it 3 times, twice with Kyle Shanahan and once with Sark. Sark in 2017. So Sark joins that play call group. And honestly, I almost consider Sark to be, like I said, kind of 1-2, kind of 1 or 2 branches removed, if you will, from directly being on the Shanahan coaching tree, because they have so much in common. And one of them is just the way they attack offenses. And Sark, from that time in Atlanta, that's when he starts to increase his usage of play action pass, increase his usage of pre-snap motion. He starts to increase his usage of the pony package in 2 tailback sets because he's following Shanahan to 21 personnel. And Shanahan uses a traditional fullback, but he wanted 2 tailbacks in the backfield, but he didn't want to cut from the offense, the Shanahan offense, cold turkey, because it was the best offense in the league at the time. So it would be ill-advised for you to decide, you know what, no, we're just going to completely, you know, shift and pivot to another offense when that offense at the time, like I said, it was the best offense in the league.
Not only that, won Matt Ryan an MVP.
And exactly, Matt, exactly. So why the hell would you just shift that? That would be irresponsible of you as a play caller to decide, no, nah, you know what, my offense is way better than Kyle Shanahan's offense, even though it was the best offense in the league. So he studied it. He studied how to fuse the two offenses. And that's what basically made him also kind of a Mac Shanahan disciple. And from that point on, that's, like I said, the play action pass rates go up. There are certain signatures that the Mac Shanahan tree is famous for. And a lot of those you can see in Sark's offense. The play action pass rates are really, really high. Last year, Mike McDaniel and Kevin O'Connell, obviously Mac Shanahan disciples, led the NFL in the rate of play action passes last year. If you go look at pre-snap motion, I mean, pre-snap motion is it's all the Mac Shanahan coaching tree, pretty much. All of the leaders in pre-snap motion last season, and honestly, year after year, they're always guys from that Mac Shanahan coaching tree. Miami led the league last year at 83%. The 49ers were second at 75%. Rams third at 70%. The Green Bay Packers at 64%. They were fourth. Your top 4 teams in pre-snap motion in the NFL last year, all Shanahan disciples. And we talk about that a lot with Sark, one of his conceptual signatures. You know, so play action pass, really high rates of that, really high rates of the pre-snap motion. Also, condensed formations. It's something I don't talk enough about, but one of the things that makes the Shanahan offense really unique is they use really condensed formations. And basically, if you look at the width of different formations, the average width of a formation, Shanahan's offense has the least amount. If you look at it, they have the lowest formation width in the NFL. It did basically, if you look at it overall, 19.7 yards is the average width of a Shanahan formation. That's the lowest in the NFL. The Rams are 31st, second lowest at 20. Miami Dolphins at 21.2 yards as their average width of their formation. The Houston Texans are 29th, 21.7. So the teams with the lowest average width of formation in the NFL are all Shanahan disciples. As a matter of fact, Green Bay is 6th on that list, too. If you want to throw them out there. Also, so one of another, the signature things, you'll see it in Sark's offense, really compressed and condensed sets, condensed formations, compressed sets, reduced splits by the wide receiver. It's all meant to create more space on the outside and bring DBs who don't want to be run defenders and force your DBs to be run defenders. And you can it's easier to pop one at the line of scrimmage. All you take is one guy to miss, and you bring the defenders closer, or at least the blockers closer to the defenders, or vice versa, because for Sark, he wants to create space on the outside, but also challenge the leverage of the DBs. So when you are – there's no way you're going to play inside leverage when you're dealing with a condensed and compressed set, really reduced splits of the wide receivers, and they're really tight together. You can't. So you've already dictated the leverage he's got to play. He's got to play outside. He's got to play outside. You got no choice. And in doing that, you can – if a receiver knows how to work his way through traffic, you can run those rub routes and you can run those pick routes right across the formation and a lot of crossing routes, a lot of misdirection. And what does Sark do? A lot of misdirection. He loves crossing routes. He loves overs and unders. And you can easier execute those concepts and get closer to your work when you have some of those tight, condensed, and compressed sets. So that's something I also that Sark increased a lot of after he followed my man Shano in Atlanta. He started using a lot of those compressed and condensed sets. So when I started looking at these coordinators and play callers who are responsible for some of the most prolific and effective receiving seasons based on yards per route run in the last decade and a half, and I noticed a trend that they're all McShanahan coaches, Sark actually fits it. The one that really doesn't fit it at all is actually Victor Cruz in 2012. Victor Cruz in 2012, the offensive coordinator, Kevin Gilbride, the old Love You Blue offensive coordinator for the run and shoot. He was the offensive coordinator and play caller for the Giants during that time. But other than that, all the rest of these guys, and I include Sark in that group too, they're from that McShanahan coaching tree. So there is something about the way they call plays. And I think it is, you know, one of the things I found when I was doing some more research about this, if you go look over the last three seasons, the 49ers have led the NFL in targets. Basically, they've had the lowest rate of targets against a cornerback in coverage for their wide receivers. So based on the formation and the personnel grouping, Kyle Shanahan is better than anybody else basing the NFL, or you know, and as good as anyone else in the NFL at scheming matchups, engineering matchups that force his wide receivers or to force their worst coverage defenders to be matched up on 49er receivers. So it's basically he's really good at exploiting mismatches. Sark's really good at exploiting and engineering those mismatches. So over the last 3 years, 49ers have earned the 64% of their targets against a cornerback. That's the third lowest rate over that time span. The only other coaches that are also in the bottom five there of exploiting those types of mismatches, having your wide receivers matched up on a cornerback, Andy Reid and the Chiefs, they have a really low rate, so he's really good at engineering mismatches with his wide receivers. And Sean McVay's Rams and Ben Johnson's the Lions, they are the other coordinators, play callers, play designers, who are really good at being able to engineer matchups to get their wide receivers matched up on safeties and matched up on linebackers, which is every defensive coordinator's nightmare. So, and Sark's, that's essentially the goal of Sark's offense, is to engineer matchup advantages for his wide receivers and for his skilled talent, tight ends, whatever. And he's really good at doing it. That's the secret sauce, if you're ultimately of the Shanahan scheme. The reason that you want to have exotic personnel groupings, exotic formations, is and condensed sets and compressed sets, the pre-snap motion, is ultimately to just engineer a certain matchup. And when you can engineer a certain matchup advantage, then you exploit it. And that's also something that I think Sark and Shano have in common. All right, so there you go. I went down the rabbit hole. found my way back to the 40 acres. Sometimes it happens like that. All right, we come back. We'll get into what the facts, what the stats. We'll get into some of those and also get back to the EA Sports College Football video game player ratings, which have been released, the top 100 ranked players in the new video game. We'll talk about that, too, on the other side. All that and more right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
With all due respect, what the
facts? Statistics. Statistics.
I'm stating facts, 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 facts.
When I'm go ahead and check the stats, yeah. Numbers gone, it's a fact. Yeah. Go ahead and check the stats. Yeah.
The light says facts.
Statistic, yep. Statistic, yep, yep. Statistic, yep. Statistic, yep.
Statistics.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time to get into what the facts, what the stats here. Get into some stats here. How about this one? Apparently, Caitlin Clark continues to set records in the WNBA. She became the fastest rookie in WNBA history to record 20 blocks. How about that? She's working hard. She had a 25-13, a five-rebound game, but she tied her season high with three blocks in the matchup and had five steals for the Fever. Hey, Caitlin Clark is starting to come into her own now. That stuff early on, those struggles, man, I think she's past those. So she's averaged, if you look at, I think, 16.7 rebounds, seven assists, six rebounds, 1.4 steals, and damn near a block a game.
No, she's once she just figured it out, it was just a more physical game. It just took her a little bit of time to figure it out.
Yeah. No, she's looked damn good lately. So as good as advertised. And I'm happy about that. I'm thrilled about it. I know some people were, you know, they were saying, hey, she's gonna go into the WNBA and she's gonna struggle, and you know, that transition, a lot of the stars from college basketball have gone through, and they would kind of imply that she wasn't special. Like, no. She'll go to the NBA and the WNBA will put her in her place. And I said, yeah, that could happen, of course, for a while, but her talent will transcend once she adapts and evolves.
Yeah.
It looks like it's happening pretty quickly. She's adapting and evolving right now.
I get that. And there's some people that I think said more than others, and there's some people that went harder than others. Like, yes. The Diana Taurasi one is funny because she said it and was like, yeah. And then she wasn't wrong entirely. She's like, look, she's going to come in and it's going to be more physical and it's going to be tough. And it was. And then Diana Taurasi, when they played, came out and dapped her up and said, hey, before the game, and talked to her. And then after the game was like, she's a heck of a player. Doing everything, but people are still like, yeah, what a horrible person. She said that about her. It's like, yeah, it's kind of how sports work. No one's going to walk
in. She's a competitor. Exactly. I'm a competitor. Exactly right. No, I don't blame the women in WNBA for saying, hey, man, or for going after and all that.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It's show the respect on the court of, you know, not intentionally trying to hurt her. And those people that were coming and fouling her really hard early on, that stuff, I think the WNBA has kind of curbed that a little bit as well. They've been, kind of went to their players like, hey, man, don't ruin the meal ticket here. Don't do that.
Y'all
can play defense.
Exactly.
Y'all can play hard on her. You can double team her all you want. But when you're coming over and trying to bump, you know, fight and stuff, that you can't do. It's good to see her. Angel Reese is playing really well.
She is playing really well.
It's gonna be fun. That All-Star game against Team USA is on the 20th. That'll be an interesting game.
Yeah, that is going to be fun.
I know that they came out and they were talking about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese playing together for the first time ever in that game, because they will both be in the WNBA All-Star team against Team USA. Angel Reese said she's looking forward to it, and then hopefully they'll be playing again together in 2028 on the Olympic team.
Nice. Oh, yeah. That's legit. Oh, yeah, man. That's honestly, if they can continue, and that's asking a lot because that's 4 years from now, to kind of ride this wave of momentum, because it's more than a moment now for women's basketball. I think now we're past, like, it was just a moment.
Yeah.
It's like some of that hype and buzz is actually translating to the WNBA. The numbers are up. You know, the viewership is up. Attendance is up. So it's more than just a moment now, and I hope they capitalize on it. The Olympic thing was, you know, obviously controversial. Caitlin Clark not making the team, but I think right now we can. People are still talking about women's basketball.
No, and it'll make that game on the 20th much more must watch because it is going to be Team USA versus the people who didn't make Team USA, basically.
So a lot of the younger ladies who came in this year then are going to be on the all star team.
At least Caitlin. I mean, that's two I can tell you.
Angel Reese will make it too, right?
Exactly.
I assume she'll make it.
She's got 20 straight double doubles now.
Yeah, some people were saying basically she translated better. Her game translated better than Caitlin Clark's did, or at least faster, I should say. All right, there you go. So Caitlin Clark still doing the damn thing. All right, I had another stat for you, but we can save it. We'll save that for tomorrow. Let's try to stay on time here. So we'll come back. We got some discussion about the player ratings, top 100 player ratings from the new EA Sports College Football video game are out. We'll get to those. We'll also get to some discussion about Team USA. Kawhi Leonard did withdraw from Team USA, but no problem taking care of Team Canada in that exhibition last night. We'll get my man Patrick's thought about that. He actually watched that game. He watched any basketball, summer league basketball, exhibition, international basketball. That's why we love Patrick on this show. All right, we come back. We'll discuss that and more right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Davis coming back on the horn.